I'm from South Africa, and most of my family still lives there. It's a really gorgeous country with some of the most stunning natural beauty imaginable, some of the best food you'll ever eat, and some of the friendliest people you'll ever meet. Any African listeners will be able to vouch for South African hospitality. Unfortunately, it's also one of the most dangerous countries in the world for residents and tourists alike. The majority of the population lives below the poverty line. The education system is in bad shape, and petty to moderate crime is basically a way of life with very few consequences. Crime there also tends to be particularly needlessly violent, often escalating to assault, indecent assault, and murder. No one has any faith in the police, who are often corrupt and are incompetent, and people live in a constant state of heightened awareness and paranoia. It's not really something you even notice about yourself, that underlying tension, until you spend a little time somewhere else and realize while you're away that you've stopped holding your breath. Every building has bars on the windows. Every business has security cameras and guards. Every home, even modest ones, have an alarm system and panic buttons. Most cars have a tracking device installed. This is the normal I grew up with. And even though I had been the repeated victim of pickpocketing, car theft, and one attempted hijacking and burglary at my mom's house when I was just a kid, I figured that was what life was like, and I didn't consider it strange. It was at the age of 21 that I met my future husband, Carl, and we didn't exactly waste any time. We had a real whirlwind romance, and a few months after we started dating, we had rented an apartment together. Within 6 months, we got engaged and moved from the city of Pretoria to a small house in Cape Town, almost on the opposite side of the county. We were married another 6 months after that, and I was working as a graphic designer while Carl got a job as a programmer. Now, Carl and I both were used to a certain amount of crime being part of daily life in Pretoria, like I've mentioned, and things were no different in Cape Town. The place where Carl worked was robbed in broad daylight, and a bunch of his valuables were stolen right out of his office. My workplace was also broken into twice in a 3-month period. Once when a couple of ladies were still in the building at night and had to hide in a bathroom, and one night after getting off work very late, and I was followed by a car with tinted windows, and whoever was in it tried to run me off the road. I did everything you're supposed to in that situation. I didn't stop at red lights, just slowed enough to check for cars before speeding through. I made random turns, I floored it, and then finally pulled into the nearest police station. It worked, and the car sped off right after I pulled in. My car's window got smashed in our driveway one night while we were asleep. Obviously, I didn't keep anything of value in the car, but that didn't stop whoever it was from trying. It turned out every car on our street not in a garage had been smashed into that night, and probably by the same group of thugs. These are just a few examples from a very long list. If things hadn't escalated from here, who knows how long we would have continued to live there under that state of normal. During the early hours one Saturday morning, maybe around 4 a.m. while it was still dark, I woke up from the sound of a loud pop, like the sound of a light bulb exploding. I shook Carl awake, and I asked if he could hear anything. And while I was still whispering that I'd heard a strange noise, our bedroom door creaked open, and the beams of flashlights were then shining into our eyes. Carl shouted something, and I let out a scream. Then our bed was surrounded by 3 men. They ordered us to get out of bed, and just kept telling us,
"Shut up! Just be quiet!"
Carl was in his boxers, I in a t-shirt, and I still thank God that we don't sleep naked. I don't remember what we said to them, but I remember at the time feeling weirdly calm. One man was rummaging through our closet, another left the room to ransack the rest of our home, and I remember having my wedding ring pulled off my finger and the same thing being done to my husband. We were forced into the bathroom, made to climb into the bathtub, and one of the men made us sit back to back before tying our wrists together. I knew that anything of value we owned was about to be gone and that we might die, but I still pleaded with the man to not take our wedding rings. "Take anything we have, but please, please give the rings back. I guess they just meant so much to me as a newlywed in that moment. He seemed eager to keep me quiet, and he kept pointing his knife at me, saying,
"Okay, okay, we'll give them back. Just shut up."
Then he told us,
"Now stay here. Don't move."
And he then locked us in the bathroom. We stayed there in silence for a minute, listening to the commotion in our house until it sounded like they were gone, before Carl worked his hands free, breaking out of the bathroom and then hitting the panic button in our bedroom, which set off the house alarm and sent an emergency alert to the local police station. It was starting to get light outside as we looked around the house and waited for the police. The place was an absolute mess. Drawers and cabinets pulled open and emptied, stuff all over the floor, and in the spare bedroom that we used as a home office, everything of value was totally gone except for my enormous iMac. My pride and joy at the time, which was lying face down on my desk after its cord had been cut. At first, we couldn't figure out why they hadn't taken it, but we realized that cut must have caused the electrical popping sound that woke me, and us waking up must have interrupted their little mission. The scumbags were actually caught in the end. We were so afraid of something like this happening to us again that we basically slept in shifts. Every little sound put us on high alert. And I kid you all not, 2 weeks later, one night while we were in bed, Carl heard voices on the other side of the wall surrounding our small yard. Peering out the window, we saw the tops of three shadowy heads moving towards the neighbor's wall. He called the police immediately. And not long after, we then had the satisfaction of seeing the men who had invaded our home being arrested on the street. That was enough for us. We set things in motion to get the hell out of Dodge. 10 years later, we now live in the USA in Tennessee, and we have two beautiful little girls. I really wish I could recommend South Africa to tourists, but we never plan on taking our kids there to see where we grew up. It's just not worth it. And we're really lucky the scum who robbed us weren't looking for violence that night. And by the way, we never did get our wedding rings back. This happened on my 23rd birthday. I'm now 45. I live in Michigan, and this happened early January. I was prepping for a night out with my girl and cleaning up since we normally have parties at my house. My son was home since I was dropping him off on our way out. He was 4 at the time, and I was a single mom. I went to take out my trash, and I had left my door open a small crack since I was heading out soon. Big mistake. Keep in mind, this was not the best area. I had then heard my son say, "Mom, someone's here." That alone caught my attention, just his voice sounded odd. I looked, and I saw a man who had a mask on and a dark hoodie. He then yells,
"Bitch, I got a gun! Give me your money!"
I had literally just got paid on this day, so my first thought was to distract him. My purse was in my dining room downstairs, but I told him it was upstairs. I lived in a townhouse at the time. He grabbed me by my shirt and ripped off my chain. Well, that pissed me off. And at this point, I had not seen a gun, so I said, "Fuck it." Which, looking back, was a terrible idea. We fought, and he got some good blows on me, but so did I. My son was now screaming and crying at this point. My front door was still open, so I pushed him as hard as I could, and he literally went flying out the door down my front stairs. I then ran outside, just screaming and yelling for help. A cop happened to drive by, and he asked what was going on. So I told him, and he took off. It was winter, so they tracked him down and caught him. He went to jail, but he didn't really do any serious time. He was released about a year later. I was walking into a grocery store when I had seen him. My heart stopped, and I immediately grabbed my son and walked out. I followed up with the court, and they claimed that they had sent me a notice, but I never got it. About 6 months later, he was on the front page of the local newspaper as he had killed someone, and he's now serving 55 years. If they would have put him away for what he did to my son and I, a life might have actually been saved. I do still check on him occasionally just to make sure he's still locked up. I was street smart, but this put me on edge for years. I would sleep with a knife in my front door until I met my husband, who finally allowed me to relax and trust again. I'm still so grateful to him. Thank you all for taking the time to listen to my story, and please stay safe. The story happened almost 15 years ago when I was about 4 years old, and although this occurred when I was quite young, the images from this experience are permanently planted in my mind, but a few of the details are hazy. Now, to give some background, my family and I lived in a nice suburban neighborhood about an hour outside of Chicago. On this particular day, I would be in the care of my then 15-year-old sister and her best friend, while my mother would be running the store. She gave us the normal safety talk and made it clear we were to not go outside. She then departed to the store, and my sister and her friend, not even 5 minutes later, suggested we go on a walk around the neighborhood. I remember distinctly my sister then opening the garage door, seating me in my bright pink kid's Jeep, and we began our walk around the neighborhood. We lived in a cul-de-sac and primarily retired community kind of neighborhood. We began going around the block, my sister and her friend having a blast and rebellious behavior as they saw it. Now, I remember that we then turned the street and continued through the neighborhood. We made it about a quarter up the street, when we then saw an older woman walking towards us about a football field length in front of us. We all stopped dead in our tracks. She was wearing a long tan coat. My sister and friend gave each other a look, and we sat stagnant there in place. The woman then being ahead of us held all three of our young girls' attention. After only a few seconds since noticing her, she then realized that we saw her in turn. Within less than a minute of catching her gaze, she then began charging us, yelling at us down the sidewalk. My sister grabbed my pink Jeep and her friend, and then held me in her arms as we ran through backyards being chased by this woman. We made it to our backyard, and we ran inside our back French doors as quickly as we could, immediately locking the set as we scrambled inside. We then heard a bang. We all then turned to see a large man, tall, broad shoulders and built, leaning against the back door staring at us, looking upset that we had locked the door. This is the point in time that my memory turns hazy. I don't really remember what happened after, but I do remember my sister calling the cops and my mom returning home and scolding my sister and her friend for calling the cops, saying they were teenage girls and just liked to start drama. This happened over a decade ago, and we to this day never know what happened to those two, as there were no arrests ever made. My sister and I are still close, yet we haven't talked about this experience in years. I can't forget the vivid memory I have of being chased and genuinely thinking we were doomed if that door hadn't been locked just in time. Dear God, was that a terrifying experience. My friends and I decided to have a sleepover at my house since my parents were gone. The story took place over 10 years ago. My mom told me she would be going to Mexico to visit some family members that were sick. She wanted me to stay and feed and take care of the dogs, so I agreed. She told me she would be leaving Friday night and would most likely be back on Monday. Since I was 14 at the time, of course I was happy to have the house free of adults even for a few days. On Friday she left me money and she told me she ordered a pizza and to tip the driver. She left it around 6 and the pizza got there around 7. I tipped the driver and he left. Around 8 p.m., I decided to call my friends to see if they were trying to hang out, as I didn't want to be by myself that whole weekend. My friends, who we'll call Omar and Lewis, had agreed. We all kind of lived in the same neighborhood, so they had biked to my house. They got there around 8:30 and we were just playing 2K and Call of Duty together, like most teenagers do. We had stopped playing around 11 and we were getting kind of bored, so we had watched a scary movie. I had told them to pick a movie while I went and put some popcorn in the microwave. While I was putting the popcorn in the microwave, I had heard a big bang in my backyard, like something hit our fence. Now, my kitchen is at the back of the house, and there's two big windows in the back, so if something was there, it for sure would have seen me. I thought it was probably my dogs just in the backyard, so I just shrugged it off and we watched the movie. Mid-movie, we then hear knocking at my front door. This startles us, so I decided to go see who it was. Well, I go to the door, and I see a girl no older than 19, and she starts banging on my door, telling me to open it. I then hear her asking for help, saying to open the door and that something's after her. As you can all imagine, my friends and I are scared shitless right now. Lewis decides to run over to open the door to help her, but when he does, she pushes the door open and knocks him down, and then two other guys come right in behind her. When this happened, I knew right then that they were going to rob us. That's when Omar and I run up the stairs, which was probably the dumbest thing we could have done. Lewis got up there quickly and had followed us, and the girl followed us too. The two guys stayed and tried to steal anything they saw, including my Xbox. Omar and I ran up to the attic, but Lewis was a little chubby, so he didn't quite make it, and he just ran into my room and then put his body against the door. Luckily, the girl didn't see us run into the attic, but I think she did see Lewis run into the room, so she probably assumed we were in there too. She was pounding on the door, when suddenly Lewis just opened it and then tackled her. Lewis then started jumping on her, and that's when Omar and I decided to join in. I had started to yell that I called the cops, and they're on the way. The guys run out, and then Lewis gets off of her, and she joins them. They ended up leaving, and we decided not to tell anyone what happened, as they really only stole the Xbox and nothing else. We couldn't really get any sleep for the rest of the night, but we were really happy that we scared them off. I'm really grateful that all of us ended up being okay, and that it didn't get worse than what it was. Last year, I moved to another city after finishing high school. I assessed several college options, and I decided on one that would have me move roughly 3 hours. I found an apartment where I would be able to live without roommates, and that was in a safe part of town with reasonable rent. It was close to some attractions in the city, which was an added bonus to me, as it would still allow me to have me a reasonable social life. For the first 4 months or so, it was great. There were absolutely no problems or safety concerns of any sort, and I managed to become good friends with a guy who studied at the same college as me. He coincidentally lived around 5 minutes away from me, so we would often hang out at each other's places. One night, just as winter started, he had called me over to play some video games and hang out. We had a pretty chill night, drank a few beers and had a few good laughs and enjoyed ourselves. At around 1 a.m., we decided to call it a wrap, and I headed home to my apartment. When I got back home, I decided to head out to the balcony that overlooked the entrance of my building to go smoke a cigarette. I vividly remember looking around and seeing absolutely nobody. It was a cold winter night, and it wasn't the weekend, so understandably everybody was at home. Besides the usual car or two passing by, it was dead quiet. Once I finished my cigarette, I decided to call it a night and get ready for bed. I was understandably confused when I had heard a short ring on my doorbell. I stood in the center of my room for a solid few seconds as confusion and a little bit of fear then set in. I snapped out of it and decided to tiptoe to my door just to try and hear if anyone was outside. My immediate thought was that my friend came over to drop something off that I might have forgotten, but then I thought to myself that he would have texted me or called. I probably listened for half a minute or so, when the person once again rang the doorbell and then softly knocked a few times. I was stood still, and I didn't want to make a sound so that I wouldn't give away the fact that I was at the door. I heard the stranger pacing around the apartment for a few seconds before he then stopped. I then waited for any sort of noise, but it was quiet. That's when I decided to look at the peephole to see that he had hopefully had left. I picked up the cover of the peephole and then took a look. My legs pretty much went numb as I saw a hooded figure looking straight into the peephole. He was holding the zipper of his hoodie so as to hide his face. All I could really make out was his forehead and eyes. He must have either heard me lift the cover or my heavy breathing, because right away he moved from the people and then said,
"I know you're at the door."
Now, by this point, I was pretty much shivering in fear, but I had mustered up the courage to then say, "I'm calling the cops, man." To which he then laughed and said,
"Yeah, sure thing, big guy."
He then proceeded to wipe away the door handle with his sleeve before then walking off. I understandably called the police. When they came over, they had actually informed me that I wasn't the only one. He had been doing this for at least a month, and they also suspected him of at least one home invasion where a father had to chase him out of the house. I crashed in my friend's house for around a week or so after this before I felt comfortable going back into my own apartment. It's been a year, and I haven't heard any new news about him. He could have been arrested by now, but as far as I know, he hasn't been. I find it more than likely then he simply just moved to a different area. I'm not sure if he had any violent intent or not, but either way, let's seriously never see each other again. Hey everyone, that's about it for today's stories. If you have your own story that you would like to send, you can send it in at southerncannibal.com. Or you can email it at southerncannibalstories@gmail.com. I look forward to telling your story. Have a good night or good day, everyone. And remember, to always...